What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, breaking down conference championship weekend. We've gone through the game between the Chiefs and the Bengals. Rams Niners is on deck, but we want to talk a little bit about some of the big headlines that did drop in the NFL because they are important ones. The Chicago Bears with a very, very important decision as the Matt Nagy hire, who wins Coach of the Year in his first ever season in Chicago, fell apart after that double doink. It is what it is. Ultimately, they go with Matt Eberflus, the Indianapolis Colts defensive coordinator. That is a hire, that is a name that we've heard a lot of teams interview. He was around last year's during the head coaching cycle. I think the difficult thing, though, for Bears fans is the last thing we saw from an Eberflus unit was being ripped to shreds by Trevor Lawrence with the season on the line. DRS, your reaction to the Chicago Bears naming their head coach?
Blah. That's a blah move for me. And again, I preface this by saying, I think he's a pretty good football coach, good defensive coordinator, but also the system that he came from, Indianapolis. I love Frank Reich. So anybody under that Frank Reich tree, I'm like, okay, might give an extra look to here. And maybe this works out for the next decade in Chicago. And yes, the Chicago Bears and their fans, they love their defense. I understand that. But the more pressing need, the more pressing issue, not necessarily getting the defense together, right? It's getting your franchise quarterback, Justin Fields, in the right environment to flourish as a young quarterback, to learn his reads and, you know, move on in his career. Because Matt Nagy, who's an offensive guy, had Justin Fields last year toward the end of the season when he was before he got injured. Like, hey, look, there's some flashes here, you know, close to 300 yards passing, woke up in that Steelers game that we watched together on In-Play Sports Tonight. But before that, I'm like, hey, man, look at his passing problem. It was like 170, 165, just really struggling. Your franchise is not going anywhere. And this is just about any franchise, Kevin, in the NFL, unless you have a good, talented young quarterback that can progress. Mm-hmm. I need to see that from Justin Fields. So is Matt Eberflus coming to town in Chicago to sit down with Justin Fields on a week-to-week basis or day-to-day basis and teach him defenses and how to read it? Maybe so. But, boy, I would have really loved to see an offensive head coach, a guru, come in and be like, you know what? I got the formula that can work out here for Justin Fields, which is why even before last season started, I was shocked that Brian Daboll went from the – or excuse me, said with the Buffalo Bills, I'm probably the hottest coaching guy on the market. I really like what I got going on here with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to stay one more year, and I'll pick where I go the next year. Obviously, saw Josh, you know, Josh Allen throughout the playoffs, sensational. So now I thought to myself, boy, is there a better fit out here for Brian Daboll to go to the Chicago Bears and say, you see what I did with Josh Allen? A little bit green behind the ears coming in, but a world of talent. You see how he's performing now? I can duplicate that here with your young quarterback, Justin Fields. And the fact that he wasn't really in the mix, per se, in the Bears job really was a questionable decision on my end by the Bears, because I think he's the best on this coaching go-around. But the fact that they got Eberflus, he's not going to hurt you. He's not going to come in and embarrass the organization. But I needed a little bit more offense there for the Chicago Bears, Kevin.
Ultimately, we've talked about the offensive hire, the defensive hires. And the one thing, because I said this when Brian Flores ultimately was moved on from in Miami. it's not that defensive coaches can't make it. In fact, they probably get a bad rap. Yeah. Bill Belichick, defensive side of the football. Mike Tomlin, Mike Vrabel. Even Harbaugh's not offense. He actually was a special teams guy when he was first able to, you know, get that job with Baltimore and everything started to materialize. But the Chicago situation is a little bit more delicate, in my opinion. First, we welcome the radio audience into the fold. Appreciate all those tuned in to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh, Donna Rightside, reacting here on a conference championship preview show quickly to the Chicago Bears' decision to hire Matt Eberflus. It's the fact that everything centers around Justin Fields. It's not to say that Eberflus can't bring in the right offensive coordinator, but now he maybe becomes the less important hire in the room. That's a little bit difficult to navigate there. And we'll see what they can do. You and I were on, you know, able to talk a little bit on the radio side of, can they maybe get Jim Caldwell if they give him enough money to agree to become the offensive coordinator? Because then, you know what? Bang, bang, I've got both sides of the ball covered, and I really like it. Because here's the thing about the Chicago Bears. If Rodgers leaves and Cousins leaves, who wins the division? Anyone can win the division then at that point. If it's Fields, Love, Kellen Mond, and Jared Goff, why not us as it pertains to the Chicago Bears? So you need to make sure you get this right. Eberflus can be good, but now that offensive coordinator hire is equally as important as bringing in Matt Eberflus.
You're right. And if you go that Jim Caldwell route, a young coach who's never been a coach before, maybe he's looking over his shoulder a little bit. That's why I see a lot of these young coaches go with another young coordinator, because it's their offense. They don't really want, they just want a sounding board, not really a pushback, or, you know, some guys in the locker room, hey, I respect this guy a lot more than you. But also keep in mind, if Justin Fields has a good year next year and you bring in an offensive coordinator, you know what that offensive coordinator for the Bears is doing the following year? He's probably getting a head coaching job. That's the issue. When you have an offensive guy as the head coach, he's not going to leave for another head coaching job. He's going to be there. If you get success as a coordinator with Justin Fields, you're probably going to get a head coaching job. And then the Bears back to square one, trying to keep Justin Fields at a high level if that's what he was playing at.
Try and go that Bill Belichick route, though, where you just wave a magic wand in front of McDaniels' face and convince him to stay forever. Though, Vegas came a-calling, which is quite interesting. All right, NFC Championship game. Rams, Niners, 3. We break it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rams, Niners, 3.5. Though is the key number, as each of the meetings this year between these two teams from the NFC West have been booked at 3.5. Meeting number 1, 31-10. The San Francisco Niners perhaps fixed their season. Then, the last week of the regular season, the Rams needing the game so they could be the 2 seed. The Niners needing the game so they could make the playoffs. Ultimately, the Niners come back from down 17-0 and win that football game. Really, it didn't matter to the Rams because, well, here they are in the conference championship hosting the game. Mattered a lot to the Niners. Again, it was the difference between being in the postseason and not being in the postseason. 3.5 DRS. We've talked, though, about throw the spread out. Doesn't matter. Typically doesn't matter. Fine. Every single time these teams play, the 49ers win. Can they do it again?
I don't think so. And you're right. When people look at trends and what makes sense, and I always talk about standing on the rug and I'll do it again and have somebody pull it out from underneath me. I'll stand on that rug again and have them pull it out again. And it's just the way it goes, because when you look at this as a tandem, Jimmy Garoppolo and also Kyle Shanahan, what, 6-0 straight up? 5-1 against the spread the last 6 games together. So why would you, wait a second, they're getting points again. We just saw this already this year. Why would you not take the points? And you probably would be right the way you think about it. But when I individualistically line these two teams up, Kevin, I say one side of the football offense, one side defense. I looked at myself, and let's just go both defenses here. To me, I think the Rams defense is better overall. Let's line up the offense. Overall, I think the Rams offense is better here. The Rams are home in this game. We're not talking about a 10.5, 14.5, 17.5 point line. It's 3.5. So if I'm picking the winner of this game, I'm once again going to say it's the Rams. Now, we were watching games on Monday Night Football early in the season with Matthew Stafford in a blowout situation, first and goal. I need one more touchdown pass to cash in some big tickets, and he wasn't able to do that. But I'm still willing, Kevin, to say, you know what? The Rams are off my radar. I'm not betting again. They can't get it done. You have to take a look at these opportunities, each as individuals. I still think the Rams are a better team. The Rams are healthy coming into this football game. I do think Deebo Samuel is a great football player. You know, I think the scheme and the running game that Kyle Shanahan dials up is fantastic. Deebo Samuel getting open in the pass game, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk. I love everything about that. But you know what I love more? Winning money and backing a team that I think is playing as hot as anybody right now in the Rams. And you're talking about the one question mark, which we'll get to the totals and the sides in this game, was what do we get out of Matthew Stafford when the pressure is on? He's answered that bell every single time in the playoffs here, and I don't think it's going to be any different, Kevin, on Sunday.
There are countless trends that say bet the Niners. You've heard me break down games all year long. I love my trends. They're great. The fact that Kyle against Sean is 7-3 against the number, as well as 7-3 straight up, as Donnie mentioned, 6 straight wins, 4 straight covers. Jimmy Garoppolo is just the absolute king as a dog. 14-5 straight up, 15-4 against the number as a dog. But I don't think they're the better team. Now, how could you think that? They've beaten this football team twice. I got you. But that last game, that game was 17-0, and it was 17-0 for a reason. And I've watched these two teams during the postseason, and the Los Angeles Rams beat the brakes off the Arizona Cardinals. And then they went and played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they should have won that game by 1,000 points. Now, they didn't, and that can be concerning, no doubt, but they were way better. Meanwhile, on the other side of the field, Mr. Underdog himself, Jimmy Garoppolo, has been not good enough, not, oh, we're not giving him enough respect. He has been actively bad during this postseason run. Multiple interceptions week 18 against the Rams. I know they found a way, but Jimmy is still banged up. I get it. They took the shoulder off the injury report. He is banged up. I cannot trust him to go on into the road and win this game. And the road matters because at least, Donnie, I can give you one trend that can back me liking the LA Rams in this spot. This is the fourth straight road game for the San Francisco 49ers. And realistically, fourth straight road playoff game, as it was do or die in that final one, week 18 against the Rams. When teams go to play their fourth straight road game since 2003, 0-5 straight up, 0-4-1 against the number. It's a lot to ask to go and do this week in and week out, all as a dog, all on the road, all with your season on the line. I like the Rams. I'm taking the Rams here to move on to the Super Bowl.
And it makes sense. And I'm going to take the Rams as well. Now, hey, we're sitting here on a Friday talking about this game. Would we love it if it went to 3 and take that? Yes, it should. But we can only give you when we're going live here. I do think the Rams win, so the 3.5 probably won't factor in. But also, let's take a look at, you know, what makes sense in this game. Because we're taking a look at Jimmy Garoppolo. When you line up quarterbacks at these stages, and again, Jimmy Garoppolo, as you said, is really bucking these trends because he's not playing good football and they're winning games on the road in the playoffs against teams that we think are better than them. But now you're looking at these two teams. You have two top five offenses based on, you know, pretty much the most, let's just say, the regular season combined with postseason, even though you're going to take a little bit of recency bias against San Francisco and say they haven't played that well. Rams good on offense, Niners good on offense, but also thing to keep in mind here, you're looking at two top five overall defenses as well in the NFL going toe-to-toe. The game we talked about previous between the Bengals and the Chiefs, we had a high total, 54.5. This one sitting at 45.5, and rightfully so. Just look at a five-game snapshot here if we take a look at the San Francisco 49ers. 20-17, they lost to the Tennessee Titans. Houston Texans, 23-7. Mm-hmm. Rams, 27-24. Dallas, 23-17. Green Bay, 13-10. If we're looking at this game and trying to say, what is the way that I want to go in this game? If the 49ers are to win this game, it's probably not going to be a shootout, and they'll play it closer to the vest, and hopefully Matthew Stafford's making mistakes, and the Rams can't really get the football and move it up and down the field with ease. Mm-hmm. If you take a look from a Rams perspective why they win the football game, I don't think it's going to be the same way, Kevin. I think it's because Matthew Stafford has got it going on. 280 yards plus passing. 2-3 touchdowns in this game. Cam Akers getting off on that turf and saying, hey, you know what? I made a fumble a couple times last week, but boy, I'm feeling good this week. And Coach Trust outright, Kevin, at the 45.5 price, because I do think the game is going to be dictated more by defenses than offenses, which is complete opposite of the earlier game in the AFC Championship. I think offense is going to dictate as opposed to the defenses.
I look at that total. And I know you're not supposed to tease totals. And people, what do you mean, why not? Well, just think about it, right? If you're dealing with a spread, even if it's of 10 points and you use a 6-point teaser, that is significantly more valuable than when you have a total at 45.5 and you take 6 points off of that. Totals are bigger. The six isn't as valuable. However, we've actually seen totals in the teasers actually be a little bit more meaningful than spreads during this run. And we'll get to the teaser game. We will. But I think bringing this under the 40 marker, which they were able to cross in both meetings this year, certainly can matter. We've seen the Rams offense be great at home, and the Niners have been able to score during this whole, you know, dominant run over Sean McVay and the Los Angeles Rams, which is maybe part of the reason that it's been so dominant. Sean McVay is not the defensive coach here. And it's, you know, I know it's Shanahan versus McVay, but at the end of the day, it's not both sides of the ball. It's two guys that control the offenses. The total is certainly interesting, and so are the props. Jimmy Garoppolo to throw a pick is juiced because it should be. What's Stafford going to do? Cup for buck 50? So much to break down. You keep it right here. This is the early line on Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's talk props. Rams, Niners, this should be a very, very good game. I want to start with the touchdown scorer market as we did last time. The biggest favorite of the bunch is Cooper Kupp at minus 145, which makes a lot of sense because Cooper Kupp has just been a touchdown machine. Four consecutive games, he has scored a touchdown. Seven of his last eight games, he has been able to find the end zone, found it against the Niners, certainly during this run that we're talking about here. The one thing as well with Kupp, as Matthew Stafford over 1.5 touchdown passes is juiced to oblivion. When Stafford throws two, Kupp gets one of them. That has been true in, I think, all but one game this year where Stafford threw multiple touchdown passes. So keep that in mind when you're looking at Cooper Kupp. But Donnie, who else touchdown scorer for this game catches your eye?
I got three of them here, and three really good prices here. If we're going to take a look, I actually have two for the Rams and one for the 49ers. Let's take a look at the wide receiver position. Odell Beckham Jr., big stage, fast turf. You're worried about Cooper Kupp, so I think he gets one of those fade routes in the end zone, or quite frankly, he's talented enough to catch a slant pass at the 30-yard line and run it in himself. I think it's a good price at a plus 140. Now, if we flip it over here to more of the running back-centric ones, Cam Akers at a minus 105. I'm under the belief that if you are Sean McVay, you saw last week, your star running back that's worked so hard to come back on the field, had great production, and then all of a sudden drops the football on the inch-yard line, the one-foot line in Tampa Bay, and then at the end of the football game gets stripped and fumbles there. I'm under the impression that Sean McVay is not going to say, hey, you know what, you're really talented, but I can't trust you. Go to the back of the line. Because if you need to win a Super Bowl for the Rams, Cam Akers is going to be a really big part of winning that Super Bowl. So him listed at minus 105, almost one of those, Kevin, where they get in the red zone. You know what, let's get this kid's confidence back. I'm going to give the ball on the goal line, score a touchdown, spike the ball, all good vibes. Let's move on to the Super Bowl here. But also, Deebo Samuel seems light to me, Kev.
Yep.
Minus 105 for the 49ers, because this isn't the same approach that we're seeing. If you look on the entirety of the season for Deebo Samuel, he wasn't rushing the ball all that much in the beginning of the year and even in the middle of the year. But that is really ramped up late in the season where you're knowing, you know what, the same way we take a look at quarterbacks saying, hey, don't run the football. We need you for the whole season. Hey, Deebo Samuel, I'm not going to give you 10 touches in the backfield and then another 15 targets at wide receiver. We'll burn you out here. But now that you're in the playoffs, you're seeing that intrigue with him, his rushing attempts going up, and also take a look when they get in the red zone. He's likely to line up as a tailback on the five-yard line and get goal line carries. So even when you're looking at that minus 105 price, you're not limited to say, oh, it's got to be a passing touch, excuse me, a receiving touchdown or a rushing touchdown. You get both. But I'm kind of a little bit unnerved when I see Deebo at a minus 105. I think this should be a little bit priced, you know, that minus 110, minus 120 range. So I do think you're getting a good number, but I'm interested to see why it's so cheap, because if they do score and you think the 49ers are going to win, Deebo Samuel probably has a lot to do with that.
Ultimately, Deebo Samuel is a guy who has scored in 8 of his last 10 games and is coming off of a game where he did not score against Green Bay. That means I want to come back to Deebo Samuel. We talked about his number last week, right? Looks light. And I guess it was. He didn't get into the end zone, right? But he had his chances. Ultimately, they didn't score an offensive touchdown. Deebo's not going to be able to score when they just can't move the football. But he did score against Dallas, and the number was booked at a comparable price. But let's talk Deebo Samuel props as a whole. Yeah. There was a change this week to a number that I've been following with Deebo all postseason long, and really for the end of the regular season as well. His rushing plus receiving number is 97.5. Here's the change. His rushing prop is 40.5. His receiving prop is 51.5. The math doesn't add up. During this whole run, they've just taken the two numbers, added the math, slapped the hook on it. That's what you bet. But, and wisely, they've said, yeah. This guy has the ability to combine and do a whole bunch of wild stuff. If you're going to bet the combination, you're paying 5-6 yards a little bit more expensive. So now I think you try to isolate. I think the Rams win. Donnie thinks the Rams win. The Rams are favored. Deebo Samuel played in 6 losses this year. He missed one game that they ultimately did lose. Donnie, he went over 51.5 receiving yards in all 6 losses, because when they're losing, they need to throw, and there is still no one more explosive than Deebo Samuel. Give me Deebo over 51.5 receiving. This week we isolate, and I'll take the number that he hits every single time they tend to be trailing.
I completely agree with you, because I've lined up side by side, and I wanted to put it into perspective so you can take a look at it. Like the rushing yards at 40.5, and I say to myself, that's a pretty hefty number for a wide receiver. Can he get it? Because, again, as I just said, he's getting increased carries out of the backfield. And I understand it. That usually means, you know, if he gets 7 or 8 carries, he's probably going to be able to get it. But are we getting all of these in the first half? Or, as you said, are we expecting them to be salting the clock away in the second half where you run a reverse with them at the end of the game that we saw against, I believe, the Dallas Cowboys, where he gets close to that first down to add that extra 10 yards? I can't. The one thing that you can do with Deebo, he's a true wide receiver. I can trust him at wideout where he's probably going to get, what, 7, 8, 9, 10 looks at a chances to make to get catches out here with targets. I think that's more capable. I don't want to be that and say, hey, look, I know he's getting a lot of carries here, but to be mad at myself at the end of the day, like I just took a wide receiver and I took his rushing props instead of his actual receiving props here. And we're not talking about, Kevin, he's got to be like, you know, Cup, for instance, get close to 100 yards. Jamar Chase, I don't know, get close to 100 yards. Over 50 yards receiving, and especially if you think they're going to lose the game, fourth quarter, he's going to get 4 to 5 targets alone there on short slants. That's what also makes it great here for Deebo Samuel. As talented he is as a running back, They use him at the wide receiver just as a running back as well. Watch how many slip screens you get, how many quick slants you get, how many targets you get inside of 10 yards. He's going to be able to get that. And I like that over 51.5. It makes a lot of sense. Then we flip it over to the Rams side. You know me, Kevin. A lot of times I like to take a look at secondary options here. Do we think Cooper Kupp's going to get a lot of targets? You know he's going to get it. Is there a chance he goes over 100 yards and scores a touchdown? Absolutely. That's how good he is. But when you're trying to stop him so much and put all your effort there, I just think Odell Beckham Jr. now finally working himself into that Rams offense and looking like a really good number two overall weapon. I think his number's low as well at 52.5. That's one of those, Kevin, we saw even last week tweeted us, hey, man, I need like 5 yards in the second half to cash his over receiving prop, which happened. I'm looking for that again. Is there any reason to believe in the first half OBJ can't get 35 yards receiving? Like, hey, man, you know, one or two catches in the second half, we got it. I would be surprised if the Rams pick up a victory in this game and Odell Beckham Jr. barely factors it in. I like both of those guys. Mm-hmm. Give me Debo's over and give me Odell Beckham Jr.'s over in their receiving props.
I'll add as well, you want to talk the other Rams. Tyler Higbee has been phenomenal. His receiving number checks in at 39.5. He has been able to cash you on the over in 6 consecutive games, which of course includes a game against these very Niners. So Higbee can make some sense here. I want to circle back on Debo for just a minute to Donnie's point about him running. I'm not going to juice the numbers and tell you how many times he hasn't had 40 rushing yards by adding the games where he wasn't a running back. From when he was able to get 5 or more carries, which has been every week since that first meeting against the LA Rams, 10 total games. He has had under 40.5 rushing yards in 6 of the 10 games. It plays, and by the way, those are still winning most of those games. It plays towards the under, especially if they lose the football game. However, another Debo receiving prop, which has not been able to hit yet in the postseason, but was 13-3 during the regular season for Debo Samuel, over 21.5 for a longest reception. 13-3 during the regular season. That's a number that jumps out. And it's another number that I'm coming back to on Cooper Kupp. It was an absolute darling last week. Hit it with multiple receptions over 28.5 yards for a longest reception on Cooper Kupp. Over in 15 of 19 games this year. I have no idea why they won't make this 29.5, but that's advantage us as the better. Because if it was 29.5, which by the way, they made it once during this run and they were able to cash an under on, and it changes it from 15-4 to 13-6, maybe you have a little trepidation. 28.5, you have to play it towards the over. That's my favorite way to back Cooper Kupp, is that longest reception. I know he like, oh, slot receiver, possession receiver, get, you know, 10 yards here, 10 yards there. Like, Donnie, he hit bombs, a couple of them last week against Tampa Bay.
Yes, and I agree with you there. And we're also talking about the earlier game in the AFC. Very good weather conditions. Well, look at the second game here. Obviously, good weather conditions on a fast track because it's in a dome. You couldn't have a better scoring weekend for quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs and prop bets than what we're getting. And talking about a couple quick prop bets here, Stafford and Jimmy G, their touchdown passes in this game, both are listed at 1.5. Now, obviously, different juice creeping in. Minus 225 on Matthew Stafford, plus 106 on Jimmy Garoppolo. I think there's a chance that both of them can do that. Look, Jimmy G is going to throw 2 touchdown passes. Maybe this is the week that he actually does it. Maybe it's one of those pop passes, as we say, where you get a cheap touchdown in the red zone to Debo Samuel. But I do think those are two different. I would be surprised if both of those lost. I think you can at least get a split. And obviously, if you're getting the split there, the minus 225, if you're laying that full unit, that's the one that you want to have back. But just an interesting way to look. 45.5 as a total in this game in good weather conditions, because as I said, again, it's a dome. It's interesting to play out. But this total as compared to the other one really has me flummoxed here on which way to go, over or under as well.
Yeah, I'm sure we will get to it within the pick 6. I will just say on Jimmy Garoppolo, not only is he not thrown two passing touchdowns yet, he hasn't thrown a passing touchdown yet in the postseason, which is wild. We'll close out the NFC Championship game, get to the pick 6 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line, locking up this NFC Championship game. Want to give a number because I knew I had it somewhere in my notes. Donnie mentioned that juicy Stafford touchdown passes. He's hit it in 8 of 9 games at home this year, including the postseason. Again, who you are when it comes to juice like that, it all depends. But I can just tell you it has hit at a very, very consistent rate. Though I know minus 225 is perhaps just a number that people will not be willing to wager on, which, again, is understandable ultimately there. On the Jimmy Garoppolo interception number, I'd be doing a disservice if I didn't bring this up. Minus 130 against Dallas. Minus 148 when they went out there and played the Packers. Cash it, cash it. Minus 158 against the Rams. Again, it's about whether you want to lay the juice or not. He's thrown a pick in 4 of 5 playoff games, 4 consecutive games overall since that thumb injury. Does he throw a pick? Yes. Do you want to bet it at minus 158? That's a legitimately fair question overall. I have a couple more numbers I wanted to bring up, but I wanted to ask you a quick question, something that maybe we were almost going to skip over here. The health of the San Francisco 49ers. Debo, Kittle, Trent Williams. Maybe the 3 most offensive players for San Francisco, all kind of banged up. I know they all say they're fine. Of course they're fine. This is the game that keeps, you know, between them and the Super Bowl. I understand that they're fine. How do you try and manage that when we're talking about not only betting on this game, but maybe betting Debo Samuel and George Kittle props?
Yeah, you have to trust the players, right? They're not going to miss this game. They're going to give it their all, and they're going to say the right things during the week. And let's also keep in mind, we're still talking about the NFL and strategy, basically, on injuries. How do you feel this week? Oh, man, amazing. Yeah, he's probably getting treatment 24-7 around the clock because the Trent Williams one is probably the most disastrous one if that one happens to where he can't be 100% going against that nasty pass rush for the Rams. So let's just say he's a little bit banged up, but also – I think some stuff got blown right under the carpet, and these guys are practicing this week, but nobody seemed to care that Debo Samuel hobbled off the field late in the game last week. Oh, coach, I'm fine. I'll be ready to go. And George Kittle saying things this week like, boy, I'm a lot healthier than I was last time around when we played the Rams at this point. So you have to trust them, but also take some things with a grain of salt. Because how about if you see Debo Samuel on an end around in the first quarter, hobble off the field with an ankle injury, you'd say to yourself, he was injured the whole time. Boy, they played it off really well. Because do you really think, honestly, that Kyle Shanahan is going to come out this week and say, you know, Debo was at practice. I hope he goes Sunday because he didn't look all that good. Even if Debo Samuel was on crutches during practice, Kyle Shanahan would be like, man, this is the best I've seen him all year. He's completely healthy. And, well, wait a second. Kyle, we saw him hobble off with an ankle injury. Yeah, but I saw him celebrate after the game, so that means he's okay. You're getting a lot of smoke screens out here. You don't want to get burned, and you want to believe that these guys are going to be good to go because you're trying to trust the practice reports. But if we've seen so many times in the past, how about like even Ezekiel Elliott wearing that knee brace where Zeke told you every week, what? I wear the knee brace. I'm fine. I just wear it because, you know, it's comfortable now. We're 3 weeks in a row, only to see at the end of the year, PCL is really damaged and beat up. I didn't want to tell you guys that. So every week I told you that I'm wearing a bulky knee brace because it feels good to me. Stop the madness here. If there's an injury or banged up, there's a great chance of re-injury that could happen this weekend. I'm not going to bet into it, though. I want to believe they're healthy.
You mean to tell me that a ginormous knee brace isn't just in style and going to become what
like
everybody
Forrest
wants
Gump
to wear?
Out there. Yeah, good to go.
I can't believe JJ wasn't able to get that bionic arm like over and become like a normal for everybody else. Look, a couple more props I just want to bring up here in Rams Niners, and I'll throw it your way, Donnie, if you've got any that we haven't hit just yet. Stafford over 39.5 for a longest completion, hit it in 7 of 9, and again, multiple passes last week for 40 or better in that game against the Bucks last week. And then, I know this is a little wonky, but I wanted to try and dive in at every market. Sack props. Von Miller is plus 100. He has a sack in 6 consecutive games. And then on the Niners side, Eric Armstead is plus 158 for a sack. He has 6 total sacks in his last 4 and at least 1 in 3 straight and had 2.5 sacks against the Rams in that Week 18 game. If you're so inclined to be getting involved there with some sacks, that certainly could line up.
No, it certainly can here. So there's a lot of good specials in this game, too, to take a look at. And yes. Also, you know, we talked about those conference playoff ones or conference weekend specials. There's a couple in there that we'll talk about in a little bit. But let's take a look at this game itself. Matthew Stafford, 250 and two touchdowns in this game. Listed at a minus 110 price. Sounds about average for Matthew Stafford, right? Maybe a touchdown the first half, maybe a touchdown the second half, 250 yards. He should be able to climb over that. Jimmy G on the opposite side. It's very juicy and appealing here because you're still waiting for a professional quarterback to show up and say, hey, I just had a decent game. His 250 number to go over passing and his two touchdown prop in this one, that's a plus 240 price. So an interesting one to see. Now, I don't want to back Jimmy G because of what I saw so far, but I feel more comfortable in taking the Matthew Stafford one. Also, the combined touchdowns, which I think is such an intriguing market, because so many times, Kevin, during the regular season where maybe the football teams aren't as good, you get a questionable guy like, hey, this guy's banged up, or he's like a backup running back or wide receiver. But if you look at the four touchdown prop, meaning four guys to combine for four touchdowns, Cam Akers, Elijah Mitchell, Cooper Kupp, and Deebo Samuel at a plus 260, that one sounds good. And then also, just to sort of double down, if you think Deebo Samuel is going to be healthy and Cooper Kupp lives up to the billing, how about this one? Kupp and Deebo, 200-plus receiving yards and two touchdowns combined at a plus 390. I've known you dipped the toes in that pool so far this year, Kevin. How about something for that? Because all you need is one of those big, like 65-yard touchdown pass. Here we go.
Yeah, you're off and running right away. You get something like that to line up there. Both guys we like for touchdowns. And the beautiful thing is the Deebo rushing touchdown would add up to that.
Yeah.
I'll mention two more things on Cooper Kupp. His isolated 100 receiving yards and a touchdown is plus 210. Makes sense. Also, a little bit juicy. If it drops during the week, that would be ideal. But him to have the most receiving yards in this game is minus 150. Like, his prop is 103.5. The next closest player is a tie with Kittle and Odell at 52.5. Donnie, he's 50 yards north, the next closest guy. Oh, you know, I have every expectation that Cooper Kupp is going to be the man of the show still for the LA Rams in their biggest game of the year. I think we have enough time now. We'll do pick six. Any other time that's left over, we should be able to get you maybe some more conference specials, anything else that we weren't able to get to yesterday. The one note on the pick six, unfortunately, no more Moneyline Dogs. At the end of the day, we're not going to give here and pretend that we like dogs to win if we don't like dogs to win. You've heard throughout the analysis, this is kind of where it is. The Moneyline Dog run was phenomenal. Yeah. At some point, maybe I'll get bored and go back and track them, but it's been a very successful year. We've replaced it with the conference special, which is way more plus money, which is great for the people. Conference championship pick six. Donnie, the floor is yours.
Let's get it. Touchdown score, talked about it multiple times already. And I've been riding the Odell Beckham Jr. wave for the past couple weeks, you know, cashing on some receiving props. But this time I'm going to cash in on a touchdown prop here. Odell Beckham Jr., anytime touchdown, listed here at a plus 140 price. I'm going to go with that. My conference special, and this is a favorite here because typically we do this in one game, but now that we have two games here, we get those double bonuses. It's almost like those 3x2s that the FanDuel Sportsbook offers in the first half and the second half. Let's take a look at this one. Conference special. Each team, one rushing touchdown and one passing touchdown. It seems so easy. There's two games. There's dominant running backs, great wide receivers. How can we not get this? I don't want to sweat this one out. Let me live this into the second half of the second game. That's a plus 850 price. We're going to have some fun with that. The under, the Rams and the 49ers under 45.5. This was just a simple look for me. I can't legitimately go under in that Kansas City Chiefs game because I do think there's going to be fireworks. But if I'm going to have two top five defenses go toe-to-toe in an NFC championship game and Jimmy Garoppolo's on the one end, I'm going to lean on that under 45.5. The alt line, the Rams here, and this is user error by DRS here. It's actually -6.5 at a plus 130 price, not the 7.5 listed there. But if you do take that 7.5, it's a higher price. You're looking at close to a $2 payment there coming back. But I like the 6.5 at a plus 130. The yardage prop, I'm going to go with those secondary options, Kevin. I talk about it so many times. Who do you want to throw to there? Yeah, Kelsey. Who do you want to throw else on the outside? Well, there's a guy named Tyreek Hill. But I'm going to go Byron Pringle over 37.5 receiving yards. In the past couple of games, you see like, okay, he's done it. He hasn't done it. But the targets are there. If he's going to get five catches again in this game, I'm going to say that he goes over that price listed at 37.5. My teaser game, I think the Chiefs win. I think they move on to the Super Bowl. I'm pretty confident in that. I'm going to go -1.5 as my teaser leg here in my conference championship pick six.
I love it. I like the Pringle shot there, too. That's a good one. That's a little off the beaten path there. I also appreciate that the user error could, you know, you're going to have to like, I'm telling you, it was 6.5. I'm telling you, you got to take my word for it.
I should have just threw everybody under the bus but me. Like, who did that? Treat the star with respect here. Who's messing up my line?
Exactly.
That was user error.
Yeah,
user error.
They would never do that to me. Yes. Here's my pick six for the conference championship weekend. Mm-hmm. Touchdown score, Ja'Marr Chase, -115. Hit 3 touchdowns in that game against Kansas City. Third most touchdowns in the regular season of any wide receiver. Burrow is listed at a big price to throw multiple touchdown passes, and we have not seen Ja'Marr Chase get into the end zone yet in the postseason. This is his chance. Conference special, all quarterbacks to throw for 250 passing yards plus 550. First of all, three of the four quarterbacks have a passing prop that is at least 25 yards higher than 250. I'll take plus 550 that Jimmy Garoppolo can get to 250. The under game, I will go Chiefs-Bengals under 54.5. Is it my favorite thing I've ever done in my life? Absolutely not. But we have seen the Bengals just kick way too many field goals here. And if they try and reverse course, say, all right, we're going to go for on every fourth down. There's no guarantee that works. Again, we were at 47 points in that game between the Bills and the Chiefs at the two-minute warning last week. Almost was an under, and I think you have a chance to get an under here in Chiefs. Bengals, alt line. I'm kind of cheating here because every single week I've done an alt over. I'm going with an alt prop, but I really like it. Clyde Edwards-Helaire for 50-plus rushing yards. The Bengals have played three games this postseason and have allowed, or excuse me, only two games this postseason and have allowed three different running backs to have at least 60 yards on the ground, which is incredible. Darrell Williams for 88 in that first meeting there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 60 last week on only 7 carries. 50 rushing yards for CEH at almost a $2 price is a phenomenal piece of work. For a yardage prop, over 28.5 yards on the longest reception for Cooper Kupp. 15-4 this season. Need I say more? I don't think so. And then lastly, they say don't tease totals. Too bad. We're teasing a total. Over 39.5 in this game between the Rams and the Niners. There were three games in wild card weekend where if you tease the total, it made the difference. There's only one side wild card weekend where teasing the total actually, or teasing the side actually helped you there. I'm teasing it to 39.5. There's 40 points scored in that game, Donnie, and that's my pick six.
Yep, I like it. The pick six makes some sense. And real quick, to throw some more, you know, kindling on the fires, we like to say. Debo, one touchdown receiving, one rushing, plus 650. How about this one? Debo, a touchdown in each half, plus 900. Oh, boy.
Man, that is some good stuff there. You want also something. One of these teams, obviously, in the NFC is going to the Super Bowl. Cooper Kupp, plus 950 for the Super Bowl MVP. If they make it, Debo is 16-1. Those numbers are cutting half, 75%. Something to certainly look at. That is your conference championship preview. Donnie closes out the show with Listen Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the week for the early line on Championship Football Friday right here on the grid, Sirius XM channel 159. Over the next 3 hours, we've got you covered as always with the Morning After and Ben Stevens. But we're talking all-star games here, people. So make sure you listen up. All right, let's talk professional all-star games. And DRS is 44 years old, and in the 1980s, when I was growing up as a youngster, I loved the all-star games, all four sports. They were so much fun. I waited for them and couldn't wait to see how they played out. But if we gotten to the point now where the All-Star games are broken, and the reason I bring this up yesterday is everybody gets so upset, like, oh, Andrew Wiggins is a starter in the All-Star game. It doesn't matter if he's a starter in the All-Star game, if he's coming off the bench, or if he didn't even make the All-Star game. Because when we look at all four sports and what has actually happened here, and I said, growing up, I couldn't wait for these. So let's take a look at the NBA. Well, now we have Elam endings, and it's not even a true game, and we're choosing sides. It's no longer East versus West. What happened to that All-Star game? Take a look at hockey, where so many things have changed. I don't even understand or even know what the format coming in this year is. We're going to pick sides. We're going to have Europe versus the United States, Canada versus the U.S., Canada versus the U.S. combined with Europe, the World All-Stars versus the North America. What happened here? I don't even know who's on what side and what team here. The Major League Baseball All-Star game, at least you have a semblance here of an actual game where hitters and batters are trying to do some damage here. Don't even get me started on the Pro Bowl and talking about the NFL, where just a few short years ago, they were threatening to cancel the game because players weren't even tackling to the ground. These things used to be the crown jewel of these sports, where you look forward every single year to each one of those to see the superstars play. Now we're just arguing about stuff like, and maybe the biggest part of the weekend is, does Andrew Wiggins actually deserve to be a starter in All-Star Weekend? Make me commissioner. I'll try to fix him. But you know what? If you made me commissioner of these four sports, I'd cancel every single All-Star game because they are now absolutely meaningless. But you know what's not meaningless? Conference Football Championship Friday with Ben Stevens in the morning after, coming up next, right here on the grid for both myself and Kevin Walsh and the Early Line. See you Monday.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.